becoming perceptible in our voice or in video.
And so, without further ado,
is there when I need?
Outside the Box. I'm your host, Alex Ansari, joining you live for the next hour as we continue to document, record, discuss, and analyze the police state control grid surveillance society being constructed for you and your children. A lot of major, major headline news coming your way in the second half of the program, followed by the time that we take your phone calls and see what's on your mind. But first, I am proud to present Jack Blood to the program. Jack Blood is a broadcaster syndicated based in Austin, Texas, on the GCN Network. He's working on a book right now, The Matrix Chronicles, several, I believe. And he is featured in my new documentary, which will be coming out in about 2 months. In that film, in his piece, he discusses martial law in America. And with that, you're going to find out what Jack Blood's really about. And he truly goes where the rest of the media is too compromised to go. Jack, how are you?
Alex, it's an honor to be on your program. You know, we miss you down here in Texas. It was great seeing you down here, but I got to say the people of Oregon are lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. Tell my audience that may not be familiar with you a little bit about what you do on your program.
Well, you know, I think we do a lot of the same thing you do, Alex. I mean, we try to break down the news for people because it gets very complicated and they barrage your consciousness with, you know, every different news story. Some are important, some aren't. Some are propaganda, just kind of smell like propaganda, but we try to break that down for people, make it easy for them to understand. Obviously, there's a huge vacuum in the media. We've tried to fill that vacuum. I know you have, too, and, of course, we've been doing this about 5-6 years now with our program Deadline Live, which started out of a little town you can barely find on a map called Providence, Rhode Island, and we've just been building ever since. And, you know, I mentioned that vacuum. Well, we found just in 2005, as we're nearing the end of this year, Alex, that the audience for Fox News had dissipated by 50%. The same thing is happening with major chain newspapers around the country. Alternative news is what people want. It's very much like alternative music got very big, alternative films got very big, and now we have alternative news, which is delivering people the information they're not getting anywhere else. As we like to say in our program, all the news fit to suppress.
I agree. I mean, I'm pretty pessimistic in certain areas on whether we can fight this system or not. But, I mean, well, I'm sitting here on a mountain of information. A lot of it's on my blog and a lot of it's on your blog and on InfoWars and places like that. I mean, we're looking at a time, I think, where the media is eating itself. There's so much information, they can't seem to cap it all.
Well, that's a good point. You know, here we are in the information age, and we're probably dumber than we've ever been. That's a bit ironic, I guess we would have to say. But, you know, this is because a good portion of our nightly newscast is eaten up by, you know, feel-good stories and stories about control. And, you know, a good example is the gentleman that was shot on the airplane down there in Miami last week or the week before. you know, here's a pretty good example of what antidepressants do to people. Of course, that was completely left out of the story.
Right.
And then just the second the story's still hot, you've got people out shilling for more control. You know, if we had more fingerprinting, Alex, if we had more databasing, if we had some iris scanners in the airport, maybe something like this wouldn't happen. So you see why it's important for us to try to clarify, you know, this glut of information. I feel that that's what we do, and I think that that's one of the most important reasons for our existence. We have to let people know what is important and what isn't important. And that's not to say that we're preaching at people and trying to tell people what to think, but, you know, minimally, getting things on the record that are so important, life and death important, important for our families, important for our children, and I'm really proud to be a part of that infrastructure.
One of the things that we were talking about when I was down in Texas was the youth in America, and you had some pretty keen observations about some pretty legitimate concerns.
Well, I don't know how keen they were, to be honest with you, Alex. I got to tell you, look, I came up like all of us, and we were all young at one point, and we've all made mistakes. And, you know, I got to a point, I call this losing control. And it's kind of a play on words, Alex, because, you know, here I was bucking the system and fighting the system from, I guess I would say, a somewhat liberal perspective. This is what all children are really taught, and they call it liberal arts in college. And I made a lot of mistakes, and it was pretty hard on myself, Alex. And then I realized when I took the proverbial red pill after 9/11, I realized that, you know, I was being conditioned. I was being controlled the entire time. Now, here I am, Alex, thinking I've bucked this control. I live in the underground. I question authority. I show up at the rallies. But what I was really doing was playing part in this paradigm that's set up for us. It's very much like The Matrix. I'm sure a lot of your viewers have seen the movie The Matrix. It's very much like that. They've created an illusion that appears to be life, but it really isn't life, Alex. And when you step out of that and you're able to kind of look at it from outside the box, no pun intended, you know, what you find is that my entire life has been an illusion. I went to college. I had several degrees, Alex, and I even went to Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of the foremost technological schools in the world. And, you know, you think you get to know a few things after all that education. What I found was the more I learned through this indoctrination process, whether it be underground or establishment, the more I didn't know.
So would you say that it was 9/11, which was the main event for you that made you decide, hey, I need to start looking deeper into some of these things?
Yeah, I'm ashamed to say it took that for me to really wake up and to really start digging a little bit deeper. And, you know, it's just amazing that, you know, here we are, we read a lot of books, we do a lot of research, and we still don't really know about something until it comes home to our front door. You know, I had been to what is now known as Ground Zero. I was there just a few days before the events of 9/11, and I lived in Rhode Island, which was a two-hour drive, and we were greatly affected by 9/11, and the second it happened, I saw the noose starting to tighten. And, of course, the obvious question was, what do these two things have to do with one another? And I got to say, that's what it took for me. I mean, I slept through Oklahoma City, Alex. I slept through Ruby Ridge. I slept through Waco. I slept through the 93 World Trade Center bombing. But you know what? They went too far. And that's one thing I think we can be grateful for, is that these people are very arrogant. And when I'm talking about these people, I'm talking about the global government. It is a global government. You know, we have this illusion of the fact that we're the United States of America, we're a sovereign nation, but economically and just about every other way, we are part of the, you know, global consortium, the global union, so to speak. And I got to tell you, you know, and there's a lot of people out there maybe watching this show right now who still haven't quite gotten it, but when it starts knocking at your door and threatening your children, you just have absolutely no other recourse but to wake up and start looking into some of this stuff.
What are some of your primary investigations this year?
Well, I got to tell you, one of the things that's been at the top of my list is the voting fraud issue and the stealing of our votes, because I still am hanging on to the hope, to the ideal that this country was based on, and that is that we have a right to choose our own government. We have a right to get rid of them if we don't like them. And so that's been a really big issue, a perennial issue for me this year, is getting the word out on electronic voting, black box voting, trying to find a way to create a paper trail for our votes so that we know our votes haven't been stolen, and to expose you know, these vote fraud or vote hoaxing, wherever it goes. You know, today we just saw what happened in Iraq, and Iraq has the exact same problems we have. Now, we have, in fact, imported our quote-unquote democracy to Iraq, and it is rampant vote fraud, it's voter intimidation, it's bribery and extortion, and that's not how we're going to pick a government that's going to lead us through the 21st century.
Yeah, and we're now planning fake newscasts in their local media.
Yeah, I got to tell you, not only are we planning the fake newscast, we've been caught red-handed doing it, and we refuse to do any. We're looking into it. Don't worry, Alex. Rummy's on the case. He's looking into this. And meanwhile, I saw a story just came out today in the mainstream media where they're going to be planning much more of this all around the world. You see, we're in a global war on terrorism, Alex, and if we have to torture people, if we have to propagandize them and mind control them or even lock them up and quarantine them, well, it's just for our safety.
Well, I was doing a lot of research into what the mainstream is saying, not just on Fox News, but on MSNBC and CNN and the local affiliates as well. I mean, and they're all saying the same thing within deep repetition over and over and over. And it's like the whole debate that's going on right now pertaining to torture, it's just like a switch. Torture's bad. Saddam tortures. They flip that switch psychologically when it comes to torturing people within the United States being executed by the CIA, being engineered and crafted by the Pentagon, then it's good. So we have this little Orwellian reality of what's moral and what's immoral.
Yeah, I think it's actually even more a Huxleyan mentality. I mean, look, this is getting people to be subservient to the police state, to the scientific dictatorship, without even knowing that it exists. It is getting people to beg for their slavery. You know, this, I believe, was stumbled upon really centuries ago when it was realized that if you wanted to put together an empire or a globalist control system, it could not be overt. It had to be covert. It had to be done in such a way where, in a Pavlovian sense of this, the word here, where, you know, people were rewarded for good behavior. Good behavior is defined now as supporting your government. When did we get to a point where to be good citizens, we support our government? This is exactly the opposite of what our country was founded on, Alex. And I got to tell you, it's backfiring on them because they're trying to be very quiet about it. They're trying to get people to volunteer for all of this. But what's happening is people are saying no. They're all drawing their individual lines in the sand. And, I mean, if it takes a microchip being threatened to be implanted into your child, maybe that's what it's going to take. But ultimately, you know, people see through this. And, you know, you said you had a hard time being positive about it. Well, I don't, because in 5 years, I have seen a tremendous growth in people wanting to understand what's going on, people wanting to be in this information war. And that's what they call it. That's what their white papers say, Alex. It's an information war. We want to win the hearts and the minds of the Iraqis and of the Americans. And I, for one, want to keep my heart and mind for myself, because if there's a winner, there has to be a loser. I don't intend on being that loser.
One of my concerns that I have pertaining to the last 3 weeks is kind of segues what you were just saying. Everybody was pretty much jumping on board thinking, wow, Bush is really going to get indicted. Wow, Karl Rove will really have to pay the price for the things that these criminals have done. And I kept warning people for a long time, this is a fraud. This is a script. This is an illusion to make you believe the system is working. And I believe that Bush is probably going to finish out his term. I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I mean, we certainly have Nixon as an example. I mean, you know, or even President Clinton. I mean, you know, presidents can be impeached. No, Nixon resigned. Clinton didn't, and I wouldn't see Bush doing anything different. But the fact of the matter is, I think we have to grow up here a little bit and not get our hopes up on, especially, you know, with candidates like John Kerry or something. I mean, we certainly have to kind of grow up. Quit being so naive and quit being so juvenile and understand that, look, this is a major CEO position, President of the United States. He got that position. He's accomplished much of the goals they wanted to put him in there. They got to be quite happy with him. And I guarantee you, just like Tony Blair right now is lined up for a job with the Carlyle Group, when he gets done, you're going to see the same thing with George Bush. He's going to go sit on a board somewhere, and he'll be, you know, keeping his fingers in our proverbial pies for years to come. You know, how do we stop that? I think that sometimes we get a little bit distracted because what really is important is getting out in your communities and stopping them from rolling over on you. And that's what we have to try to do. I don't know if we're going to win. I mean, we call it an information war, Alex. That almost presumes that there's going to be a winner and a loser. But this is a war that will go on for generations. And at some point, we've got to grow up and quit getting people to lift up our expectations unrealistically. And we've got to say, hey, in my community, I'm down here in Gonzales, Texas right now, which is quite a hop, skip, and a jump from my home base in Austin. And I came down here to meet with 20 or 30 people that are stopping a massive eminent domain land grab with the Texas corridor running through from San Antonio to Dallas, Texas, just to start. And these people here have stood up, and they are going to stop this corridor from going through, stop this control grid from going through Gonzales, and that's exactly what we have to focus our attention. You know, it's nice to know what the president does. It's nice to hope that the president could receive some type of justice for his behavior. He certainly deserves it, and so did his dad, and so did his grandfather, and his great-grandfather. But if we focus on that and we don't focus what's going on in our very own neighborhoods and communities, we've lost the real task of changing things.
You know, that corridor watch, from what I heard when I was staying down with Steve and Carolyn down there, they were telling me that was really a matter of triple taxation for the roads. And even talks and plans of RFID tracking devices in the cars so you can automatically get charged every time you ran over one of these transponders down there.
That's a fact. They want to... It's not enough that they're getting all of the taxation they get now, and it's not enough that they're working together in these global conferences to put down global taxation on all of the citizens, but they've got to find new ways to do it. And I'll tell you, when you're looking at these corridors running through everywhere and these toll roads, what you're seeing is, you know, this, it looks like it's about money, and it certainly is about money to many degrees, but as they're setting up these proprietorships, as they're, you know, gobbling up all this land, much like the robber barons did with the railroads, the main issue has to be control. And do we all want to live in gridded cities where we're stuck, like the people of New Orleans were or the people of Houston were when those hurricanes hit and they couldn't get out? You know, and I think the answer has to be no. But this is just one of many issues, you know, we've tackled down here in Texas, the New Freedom Initiative, where this is something that Bush passed as part of UNESCO. Now, you got to remember that Ronald Reagan signed off on UNESCO. They didn't get a dollar. UNESCO is the social, environmental arm, basically, of the United Nations. And Reagan said no to that. And with Clinton, they gave him a couple of bucks but still wouldn't sign on to it. Yet George and Laura Bush love it, and this is part of No Child Left Behind. So out of No Child Left Behind, we not only get a rigorous testing to government standards of our children to make sure that they're fully indoctrinated, but we get the New Freedom Initiative, Alex, which is the subsequent, or it is the psychological testing of all of our children, and if they do not meet certain qualifications, certain standards with their mental health, they will be, of course, drugged after the fact. So then we have a whole society of psychologically tested, psychologically recorded and databased and drugged children. This has to be approved state by state. We stopped it here with massive calls and massive action on the governor and the legislators here. We said no to that, and so far we've been able to hold them off on it. We said no to checkpoints, Alex, and Texans Against Checkpoints, a great organization down here, said no checkpoints. I know you've told me your problems up there with checkpoints. It's a valiant effort. We've defeated that initiative here. No checkpoints in Texas, at least not legally. So again, it really comes down to what you do in your own community.
You know, one of my concerns when I look at, you know, how corrupt certain fragmented groups of the police are is, you know, what I don't understand is why they don't tighten up the reins on some of these wild police that are out there tasering people and killing people. The reason is about 3 weeks ago, the local paper here, the Portland Tribune, reported that a police officer had gone in to do an arrest, and the guy that he tried to arrest up at a bar here in the north side of town knocked him up the head a few times and started to bash his brains in. And this was in a crowded bar right outside in the parking lot, and everybody stood by and watched. And I think that police officers should be really concerned that, you know, for one thing, this might have been a really good cop after an actual criminal. And, you know, when we get to the point where it's okay for police officers to tase elderly women, when it's okay for them to duct tape 5-year-old children, you know, people are going to be angry at the police, and when they need their help, the public's not going to be there. So I think what they're doing is not just dangerous for us, but dangerous for them. Plus, look at all the lawsuits they have to pay every time they have to kill somebody.
Yeah, you know what? It's a long way from Sheriff Taylor, who knew you, lived in the community, and, you know, knew your family, knew that you were a good guy, and maybe you had a beer and a half, and you're not drunk, and you have a license for the gun you might be carrying in your car, and he'd just say, hey, go home, Bob. You know, let me help you go home. Let me give you a ride, and we'll have a cup of coffee together. You know, we've come a long way from that, and we have because there has been, you know, a uniform government policy to retrain police officers, to train them for not only urban warfare, which is really pretty scary, but to treat us all like criminals. And you're right, it's extremely bad public relations for police officers to be tasing innocent old ladies. You know, there was a case about 6 months ago where I think it was about a 75-year-old man was driving in his car. He didn't realize that the police were on his tail and using their lights, so they thought he was fleeing. You know why they wanted to pull him over? Because he did not have valid tags, valid registration on his license plate. When they did pull him over, they yanked him out of the car and tased him and gave him a heart attack. You know, I mean, this is the same thing with TSA and our airports. I mean, I think that there really isn't a concerted effort to sell this to the public. I think they want the public to be afraid of it because ultimately they can't put this everywhere. They have to really depend on the citizens being afraid of this kind of a thing because they don't have the money, they don't have the manpower, they don't have the infrastructure yet in order to control us all. So the only way they can really control us is by fear. And on a side note, I just noticed about a month ago they had announced that they found the fear gene within the human species, and they'll be able to control your fear. Now, of course, again, here's the paradigm. They sell this to you as a good thing. Hey, you know, post-traumatic stress, guys coming back from the war, people who are under extreme stress and anxiety can now have their genetic makeup altered in order to not have fear anymore. But if it can be used for that, and that's bad alone, because if you can imagine forces of military who have absolutely no fear and no conscience could be rather dangerous. Police who have no fear and no conscience and who have been trained, again, to feel that the American people, their constituents, their neighbors are the enemy is certainly dangerous. But we can get to a point where you can alter your genetic structure to make you afraid, to instill fear in you, you have control. Fear equals control. Security, as they like to say, equals control. That's why I call my social security number my social control number. That's why I call Homeland Security the Homeland Control Agency.
As we wind down here in the last few minutes, you know, we talked briefly about infighting within so-called truth movements, patriot movements, left movements, right movements, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit earlier about being optimistic. I don't think that we can really change things significantly unless we can unify against a single purpose. Down the next 5 years, do you think that that shift may happen?
Well, I don't know, Alex. I got to tell you, the chips are really coming down. We got 3 more years of Bush. He's not going anywhere, and they've got some big plans. And I think that's going to get people out on the streets, not just to hold signs and protest, but to do things in a more civil disobedient manner, to do things that, for instance, I'll give you an example. Over in England, they had some guys go dump a few tons of coal on Downing Street to oppose environmental issues to Tony Blair. I think we're going to see more things like that. But, I mean, to answer your question about unification, I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason why is that people are people. People have egos. And we just have failed to realize that this isn't about Alex Ansary. This isn't about Jack Blood or Alex Jones. This isn't about us. This is about, you know, giving a life better for our children than we had. And so far, when I look at what it was like for me to be a kid, playing outside, not having 500 channels of programming on my TV, not having video games to deal with, not having as much peer pressure, and certainly not having a police state around my ears, I'm not going to be able to pass that life along to my children unless I really roll up my sleeves and get to work. Now, as far as unity goes, look, man, we've got to do what we got to do. We got to be responsible for ourselves. So instead of sitting around crying and bitching, saying, hey, people aren't good, and I don't like this guy, and he's got a funny haircut, and that guy plays funny music on his radio show, and I guess they're talking about me there. You know, we've got to really see the positive force of people being individuals, and that's the thing. They're trying to replace our rights with privileges. By the way, happy Bill of Rights Day to you, Alex. And they're trying to, you know, ultimately get us to go against each other. We can't fall for it, because if it's not about us, if it's about the issues, then this never happens.
Do you have any predictions on the upcoming presidential election in 2008?
Wow, that's a ways off. We've got 2006 to deal with, which yeah. I think one thing that's wonderful about these election years, Alex, is they hold off a lot of things. People are waiting for elections to be over and primaries to be over before they make their major moves. So we are in a holding pattern right now. Regarding 2008, I picked some long shots here quite a while back, and Mitt Romney for a Republican candidate was the guy I picked. He's the governor of Massachusetts, a well-known globalist. He's a Bilderberger. He helped Orrin Hatch perform the Olympics, save the Olympics in Utah some years back, and he's very well favored. I think it'll be a Rockefeller Republican like Mitt Romney, a Bilderberger, much like Mitt Romney, against a Rockefeller Democrat, which could even be Hillary Clinton. I'm not convinced of that now. I'm not sure who the Democrats will get in. I think Joe Biden looks pretty good. But to be honest with you, I think we're a few years away from really seeing the tricks they have up their sleeve on this. But I'm guaranteeing a Bilderberg election in 2008.
Now, besides Alex Jones, David Icke, and Clyde Lewis, Anthony Hilder, and a few other people, I haven't really recommended anybody to any real radio programs. Clyde's off the air right now. So the best I know of is you and Alex Jones. Tell my audience a little bit about where they can listen to your stream and on what time, Pacific time.
Well, sure. If you're in Portland, is that where you're at, Alex, in Portland?
Yeah, we're 2 hours before you.
I want to encourage people to, number one, look into micro-broadcasting. If you like what you're hearing on this TV show tonight, you can be a part of the media. You know, this is the thing. We got to be the media, because the media let us down. They've been consolidated and taken over. So number one, I tell people to be the media and look into getting into micro broadcasting, because it's really helping things. We got 12 stations down here in Texas. Right. And as you know, we've done a pretty good job down here. People can go to the website, jackblood.com, to the Listen Live page and find out how to listen to us online. They can go to GCNlive.com, and they can also have a number of streams there, as well as I think the pick of some of the best shows on alternative radio today. So GCNlive.com, jackblood.com, and also I'll put a plug out for my forum if you'll allow me. It's a message board. We have 30,000 news stories posted there with excellent research to go along with it. That's at phase3.org, and I encourage people to listen. I'm on 2 to 4. That would be 12 o'clock noon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, p.m., your time, there in the Pacific Coast. And I encourage people to listen, to tell people about what we're doing, to tell people about what you're doing, Alex. You should have people committed to telling 5 people this week about your TV show so that we can grow your audience and, again, grow the message. And, again, I'm really proud of you out there doing this and taking a stand. It's kind of dangerous, and I know you're up to it.
Thank you, Jack, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program.
Never too busy for you, Alex. We'll do it again anytime you need to, okay?
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Stay bold.
All right. Bye-bye. Jack Blood, jackblood.com. You can listen to a stream from 12 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday on the GCN Network. And speaking of internet radio, again, I have a very special announcement towards the end of the program, so you're going to want to stick around for that. In the meantime, before we get to the news, before we get to your phone calls, you know, it's very important to celebrate diversity, culture, taste, and talent when it comes to making film. And Emily Rowland, the traffic specialist here at PCM, has produced an excellent little piece to think about your life and how happy you are today and, you know, with what you're doing. So with that, we're going to go to that, Rowland, come back and get into the meat of the New World Order. Stick around.
I what are we going to do? We've got to strong-arm somebody to get into this thing?
I
mean, what's important here?
Making
money.
So
what's the most important?
I need so. I want.
It's closing
need,
this deal. Without, so if we don't close this deal, what,
I want, I
we've wasted
I want,
3 months. I don't want to waste 3 months of my life without closing something down.
I
want to sell.
damn it, I missed it.
I'm on.
What's wrong? Is a asshole.
Agreed.
I want to watch our bizarre board games carry out.
I don't want anything else.
Yes, I have
a new seat.
Yes, I have.
I want to have my rooms. I'm a slip and bleak.
Surrounded by a fortress of asphalt and electrical wires. Everything gives off an eerie glow.
It's too much.
It's
too much.
My father had a nervous breakdown.
I don't know what I'm doing. There's too much.
I forget. I must have forgotten something.
How come I was walking in the
room? I just need a minute.
Listen, I really gotta go. I got a lot going on right now. It's kind of a busy
time.
Just need a breather.
I told him he had some form of mononucleosis, but they took him to specialists and couldn't find anything wrong with him.
I want it.
What's the
most important thing? I wonder where it
comes from.
I don't want it. Street life. Every 50, 100 yards, casting down lights everywhere, bathing the hole in a horrible yellow light. But now the wind, only the wind provides a feeling of nature.
You know, when we see the indoctrination of our youth, our elderly, the so-called middle class, to accept this corrupt system, we also see something else. That is the hypnotic repetition of the keywords and the codes geared towards enslaving you not only to accept martial law, but to beg for martial law, to think Orwellian, to understand that switch, that thing that changes our minds to realize that torture is good when it's implemented against citizens of the United States of America. Torture is good when it is implemented against the brown people. But when Saddam Hussein tortures, now that's bad. And we're living in a time where more people are happier in Iraq, that is, living under Saddam's rule than living under our rule. You see, we're still in a war, but the war is losing. The war on terror is a fraud. This you know. But you see, we're not meant to win these wars. We're just meant to fight them. We fight them. We finance them. That is our government with our taxpayer money. We pay the burden. Our children pay the cost. And they make the profit. You cannot keep all this information down. I haven't even got to 100th tonight of what has just happened today or this week. Beginning with article number 1. 5-year-old says school bus driver duct taped his mouth. A school bus driver could be fired after a 5-year-old boy reported that the driver taped his mouth shut so he would stop talking, school officials said. The kindergartner told his parents the driver taped his mouth with duct tape on the ride home from the elementary school on Monday. He told his parents he reported it to the county sheriff's office. The bus's surveillance camera had been removed about 5 days ago for maintenance, so there's no footage of the alleged incident. We are seeing these stories more and more every single day in our national headlines, on the internet, on the paper outside. But we don't notice it because we're used to seeing it every single day. And that's the sad part. We're no longer disgusted by this information. We're no longer surprised. We accept it because we feel that we're small and that we are have been defeated. Moving along to article number 2. CIA prisons moved to North Africa. CBS News. A Swiss investigator probing claims of secret CIA prisons in Europe said his committee had evidence that supports allegations that prisoners were transferred between countries and temporarily held without any judicial involvement. Many told a news conference he believed the United States was no longer holding prisoners clandestinely in Europe, and they believed they were moved to North Africa in early November when reports about secret U.S. prisons first emerged in the Washington Post. He did not provide any other details. We are seeing more and more information about who the CIA really is. They are there to finance Wall Street, to make Wall Street money. If you know anything about Cuba and the situations with the Bay of Pigs, you would understand United Fruit. You would understand that it's always about protecting the corporation. It's always about lining their pockets with more money than they could possibly handle, including torturing people for information, even if that information turns out to be false. But now we're living in a time where the Pentagon is openly spying on Americans, and nobody thinks twice about the consequence of this. This is out of MSNBC, December 14th, 05. A year ago, a Quaker Meeting House in Lake Forest, Florida, a small group of activists met to protest military recruiting at local high schools. But what they didn't know was that their meeting had come to the attention of the U.S. military. Now, listen. A secret 400-page Defense Department document obtained by MSNBC News lists the Lake Worth meeting as a threat and one of more than 1,500 suspicious incidents across the country over a recent 10-month period. Now, at the same time that they are spying on you, another thing many would call conspiracy, which is really a reality, is that their PR is more sophisticated, crafted, for the best technology possible. Now that it's 2005, USA Today reports that Pentagon is now rolling out a stealth PR. $300 million the Pentagon is spending on a psychological warfare operation that includes plans for placing pro-American messages in foreign media outlets without disclosing the U.S. government as the source, one of the military officials in charge of the program says. Run by psychological warfare experts at the U.S. Special Operations Command, the media campaign is being designed to counter terrorist ideology and sway forth audiences to support American policies. Do you know how I read this information? I look at what is really happening. What is the tangible? What is the logical? What is the rational? But when you read a lot of this information from CBS and USA Today and MSNBC, they're reporting it to you because they're selling it to you. They're selling you this. They're not alarming you. They're not getting you to think spiritually and turning things over to the Almighty Creator. Understanding that spirituality and love and peace is our way to defeating terrorism. Violence meets violence. More fire breeds more fire. This is the kind of things we talk about on Outside the Box. If you're fueled with anger and rage, that's exactly the kind of energy you're going to attract. Now, we're going to show a quick video here, just about 2 minutes of it in just a second. But I'm going to go ahead to article number 4, tasering your grandmothers. I have talked about this before on this program. We're moving into a new age of tasering our elderly. Now, this is out of CBS News. Beverly Kidwell, 68, is suing the town of Franklin, Ohio, and its police department after she was tasered inside the police station. The incident, which was caught on surveillance video, happened in April 04, when Kidwell came to the police station to check on her granddaughter, who was there to accuse her of domestic violence. In the video, Lieutenant Wayne Bowling is seen to handcuff Kidwell when she allegedly refused to obey. She was tasered repeatedly. I have a few more articles to go. We're going to show actually just the first few minutes of that program, just the clip of her being tased by the police officer. Then we'll come back. Stick around.
An Ohio police lieutenant tasered Beverly Kidwell, get this, not once, but 5 times in a police station waiting room. You can see it there on the video. She joins me now live with her attorney, Rick Schulte. Beverly, you know, as we're seeing the surveillance video, when they put the taser and pointed it towards you, did you know what was going on?
No, I didn't know what was going on. I actually thought it was a gun.
Yeah, when did you find out that it was a taser? When did you realize what it really was?
I didn't really realize. It happened so quickly, and he pulled it out, and it looked like a gun, and then the next thing I knew, I felt this excruciating pain, and I fell to the floor, and then he kept tasering me over and over and over again.
What did you say to him or do to him? Did you do anything to provoke him?
No, I did nothing. I sat in the chair and waited to speak to another officer, and I did nothing except sit in the chair.
So you were just sitting there quietly, Beverly? Is that what you're saying? You didn't say anything?
Yes.
Didn't do anything to intimidate him or threaten him?
No. I was sitting there by myself for quite a period of time waiting for another officer that I had requested to talk to. And when I told the dispatcher I was going to leave, then this officer came through the door and we shook hands, and I told him that I'd been sitting there a long time and that I needed to leave. And
do you realize that if you're going along with this, they're laughing at you? They think you're smaller than them. I mean, when you're sitting there licking their blood-soaked, steel-toe boots, they're laughing at you, but they see you as a small creature, cannon fodder for the world government. In article number 5, we could see the surveillance society is just kicking it up just a few more notches. This out of the Virginian Pilot, another mainstream news source. Checking out library books isn't always simple when you're in elementary school. If you have a card, it can get crumpled. If the card information is taped to a frozen treat stick, you can lose it. And for the librarian, you remember what I said about them selling you on this? And for the librarian to look up your name on the computer, you have to know how to spell it. But at Chesterfield Academy of Math, Science, and Technology, these problems no longer exist. All you need is your finger when you go to the library. Now, the principal says he learned the biometric system from an ad, and he wanted it because his school focused on technology. Quote, I fell in love, end quote, White said. We should have the latest technology that is available. You see, I've made this very clear and I'll continue to. The surveillance society is no longer about terrorism because the war on terror is a fraud. Terrorism is permitted. Now, if you don't believe me, why would they want to hide what really happened on July 7th in London? So they had some bombings and there was some strange coincidences around that, just like 9/11. And Tony Blair and the leadership there, as reported by the BBC in this particular article, I don't have it up on my computer, states that there is not going to be an investigation. Now, leave that up. Now, it goes on to say that the terror watch list, though, is now 80,000 people long. Now, a watch list of possible terror suspects distributed by the U.S. government to airlines for pre-flight checks is now 80,000 names long. A Swedish newspaper reported, citing European industry sources. It gets deeper and deeper. Everybody is terrified. Now, they've sold you, bring up article number 7. They've sold you on the idea for a long time that you need a microchip. Well, Tommy Thompson, the governor that I talked with with Liz McIntyre, who went to work on the board, he doesn't want to get chipped. It says right here, ex-President Bush cabinet member Tommy Thompson still haven't received an RFID implant despite a televised program he made in July 05 just to do so. In public appearances, Thompson has suggested injecting the microchip into Americans to link their electronic medical records. When confronted by a CNBC correspondent in another July interview about whether he would take the chip himself, Thompson replied, absolutely, without a doubt. Now, if you go on to article number 8, when we speak out against this, more and more from the previous article, they're spying on you, they're putting the PR out there, but they're also banning free speech. In article number 8 from the Independent, it documents, which was recent news which we covered about 4 months ago, at Parliament over in Europe in London on Downing Street, they have designated that not a free speech zone. They don't want people protesting. They don't want people bullhorning there because there's too much being said there that they don't want being said. It's pretty simple. It's not a complicated concept. A lot of people are pretty comfortable with the idea that they can look at all this information and think it's all separated. It's all an accident. All this is random. All this just fell out of nowhere. Cause and effect don't exist. The laws of the universe do not apply. Geneva Conventions clearly don't apply. But we're looking at a time more and more where there is no outrage. There is no scream for change in this country. And it's because there is no scream for change, and especially on how people are relating to each other on a spiritual side, which is really more important, that is why this country is going down. And I mean seriously down. We are witnessing our country, the United States of America, being sacrificed on the altar of world government. We're not meant to win these wars. We're meant to pay for these wars. There's a difference. This isn't about left or right. It is about the global elite that run everything, that are consolidating their power to run everything. That way they have all the control they need over you. They have all the financial resources that they need. All the natural resource depletion you keep hearing about, they have control over all of it. And when you link yourself up into the databases, into the surveillance society, once you take the thumb scan, once you take the iris scan, you are all linked up to a central database. Once. The plans for the hive mind are actually executed. You will have thoughts you will not recognize as your own, but you won't see it. You won't know it. You won't know that you are already inside the Matrix control system because they haven't told you yet. Yeah, they haven't told you yet. Many of you are waiting for MSNBC or CBS or Fox News to tell you you are living in the New World Order. I am here to tell you every Thursday night you already are in the New World Order. All we are seeing is an incremental step day by day, so you don't even recognize it. By the time you do figure out what's happening, by the time you do figure out you're poor, you don't have any money, you stick your pocket in your hand, there's nothing there, when the line to the soup kitchens increase, and the poverty and the crime, the despotism increase in our urban cities, and the gang warfare begins all over again when the situations are set for those circumstances to flourish, then you're going to start to ask yourself some questions. But by that time, it may already be too late. And this is the future of America. Like it, love it, hate it, it doesn't matter. These are the things that are happening every single day. You can't dispute this. You can't debunk this. When you wonder why Gordon Smith, put his number up. When you wonder why Gordon Smith doesn't want to debate on Outside the Box or any other community access program, it's because he has something to hide. You see, he's no different than any other pimps and prostitutes that are swaying their ass along the Potomac River just for a few bucks. He's doing what he's supposed to do, and part of what he's supposed to do is eliminate cable access so the corporations can take over the channel and you only have one form of programming that says the same message over and over and over. We're so far outside the box, they can't handle it. And it's not about Outside the Box or Mad as Hell TV. It could be a show about arts and crafts. The point of the matter is, these things hold up on the altar humanity, love, creativity, artistic talent, spirituality, and the things that are linked together in that vibration are being crushed, are being dismantled as the dark lord satanic energy of fear vibrates itself through our society and attaches itself to the collective consciousness of the hive mind, the reptilian brain, where we all connect together and we're all thinking the same thoughts. And the same thoughts that everybody's thinking today is all that matters right now is me. All that matters right now is my life, is my job, is my career, and that's all that matters. And it's the selfishness, self-centeredness that is tearing this country apart. The despotism. The people that used to be awake at one point, but are now going back to sleep. The future is dark without a drastic change, without that unified movement, without that push that brings everybody together. That brings everybody together with one purpose. That is to change this world into the world it was meant to be. This is the 21st century, folks. They're still thinking with their 13th century minds. Why is that a difficult concept to grasp? Why are the spiritual lessons that the universe is giving us, directing us that you need to make a change? We need to make a change. What they are telling you is a lie, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lie. I'm sorry. That's enough out of me. onto your phone calls. Let me know what you're doing for freedom. Let me know what you care about. Let me know what your passion is. Keep it brief because we need to take a few phone calls. But again, I have a very special announcement coming up at the end of the break. Looking at this information without a corporate lens, getting outside the box, trying to get outside my own box, it's quite a challenge. Because I'm locked in my own quite often when I look at things just from the political spectrum. But a lot of these things are leading up to a dark future. And we're going to see a time in our history to where we're going to look back and go, wow, God, I wish we had that God-like ability to just turn back the clock. But it's not going to be there. And with that, we will go to the first phone call of the evening.
I like what you're saying, and I think it's great, and the world would be a sadder place if we didn't have people such as yourself speaking out. But you never put into the equation how religion fits into all this anarchy within the government. And I was wondering, you know, the Catholics have the Pope, and there's the Dalai Lama. I wonder if it's come to a time where the Muslims need to get together and find one leader that's full of peace and love, and maybe that religion wouldn't be as have so many radical fundamentalists in it.
Thanks. Valid concern. What we do bring about, thank you for your call, what we do bring about from time to time on this program, if there's one thing you remember, remember this. There is no almighty creator that is telling people that they need to commit genocide and kill hundreds of thousands of brown people on another part of the world under Jesus Christ's name. That is not the light. Absolutely not. That is a fraud. That is satanic energy manifesting in the material world and based on our free will. People in positions of leadership are choosing to spout off these lies and make people believe that this is what Christianity is. And in doing so, they bring down every single Christian and make them look bad. And while I have nothing against religion, like it, love it, or hate it, you need to deal with the energy of the Almighty Creator over all human beings, black, white, purple, red. It doesn't matter what language it's translated in. If you're locked into that kind of programming, that one religion, it's all about the one world religion, that's what they believe in. If you want to believe what they believe in, feel free. But the energy of love, the light, doing thy will, not mine be done, are universal principles that don't have boundaries of Afghanistan, the United States, nor have color of a Middle Eastern descent or a Caucasian. These concepts of the universe are older than time and not limited to planet Earth. And with that, the next phone call. So, a lot of things are trickling down the turnip truck. And one of these articles here that we will be discussing next week is this whole concept of cameras in the bathroom. You see, we've talked a lot about the surveillance society quite a bit. Now, it seems to expand even in areas that I'm able to keep track of it. But there's been an alarming number of stories of young boys and in middle school, several of them, that have found cameras. This is a completely separate article and incident that reads from KWCH News, that an East High freshman faces expulsion for something the district says should never have happened. Monday, Charles Rogers discovered a camera in the foyer of the boys' bathroom. The camera there surprised me. It was a little spy camera. I didn't think anything like that was in the bathroom. I didn't think it was in the schools. I thought it was a perverted janitor. Well, he took down the camera, and he was suspended, probably for the rest of the year. They're going to have a board meeting over that, but next week, we will be delving into the issue of cameras in the bathrooms and how it's the new wave that's sweeping our nation, if you bring that graphic up. Cindy Champion is going to be joining us with her son, who's 13 years old. Cindy Champion is on next week. They're going to be discussing their new website, Parents Against Cameras in the Bathroom. Don, if you bring up that graphic for next week's guest, you're going to find out that there are a growing number of people that are showing concern in this country that why are you filming our children going to the bathroom? And every time it's the same thing, it's graffiti. So when I said before, things aren't just about terrorism. They're about convenience. They're about perfecting the perfect worker drone hive mind society. You must understand how deep this goes. OmnisoundRadio1.net. Outside the box is slowly breaking out of the Portland box. We are going to be airing MP3 broadcasts Saturday nights at 9 p.m. on OmnisoundRadio1.net. There's a number of programming that's already on OmniSound, such as Clyde Lewis's program, Ground Zero, News at Ground Zero, some of the quick takes he does. There's a Ghost Talk program. I'm on there. You see at the bottom, David John Oates is another fantastic program, and X-Politics. And a lot of these programs were just added in the last month. And this particular server that's based in Miami can handle 2,000 to 3,000 listeners at a single time. So that's going to be very exciting. I'm also going to be launching Outside the Box Radio with stop sets and music and everything that's going to be launched, not to go on TV. That's going to go specifically there. So I'll talk to Jeff and make sure he labels those, so that you know which one is the TV version and which one is the radio version. But as of right now, the Frosty Woolridge interview, which you heard last Thursday, is going to air at 9 p.m. on OmnisoundRadio1.net. Now, if you go to my blog, alexansary.blogspot.com, you will find all of these articles there for you to click on and for you to download and print out and keep, because some of these articles disappear from the internet after a few years. Some of them stay. I've heard that MSNBC is pretty good. Sometimes they change their addresses. Sometimes, for whatever reason, the story just disappears or it's retracted. But, you know, certain stories aren't retracted, and those are the ones you have to keep the link on. So go to alexansary.blogspot.com. You can bring the graphic form so they see what it looks like. Go down there. Right now there's about 25 to 30 articles. I try to go through all the news wires that I can. A few websites that I would like to recommend in your travels for the truth. WhatReallyHappened.com is a fantastic website. Michael Rivera, he was on the program about 2 months ago. Infowars.com is fairly good. Portland Indie Media is good in certain areas. Jack Blood is good. Jack Blood is an excellent radio program, as I said before. And some of the other programs that are pretty fantastic that are on GCN is, there's John Stottmuller also on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So what we're looking at now is a shift to move our energy into the internet. As the boot drops to try to eliminate cable access and programs like this, we're going to have to fight. Because unless we fight, they're going to stomp on it. They're going to crush our skull, and they're going to laugh. Living this corrupt system is going to be like taking a jackboot steel-toe kick right to the teeth every single day living inside the system. But you don't have to have it. You don't have to live in it if you don't want it. Until next week, I'm Alex Hansen, reminding you, there still is a war for your mind. See you next week.